offer on behalf of all of the assembled devotees our sincerest gratitude to His Grace Sriman Purijan Prabhu, who has taken so much of His precious time and sacrificed so much of His heart's energy, working so hard since He's come to Bombay and here, Govardhan, to share with us the precious, invaluable gifts that He received from Srila Prabhupada. The deep insight into the holy name that You have given us entrance into, and the profound insights into the very basic essence of spiritual life, which has been told through the story of Narada Muni, has very deeply affected all of us. We pray that Srila Prabhupada and Sri Radha Gopinath continue to inspire and empower you to deliver more and more souls with the divine grace that you have received. Let us all very enthusiastically reciprocate with His devotional service and His kindness upon us by loudly chanting Hari Bhajan. Thank you, Purijan. We only have a few minutes till the end, or let us say the beginning of the next adventure in life, in Krishna's service. I would like to share a few reflections that just come from my heart as I'm thinking of Purijan Prabhu's amazing explanation of the journey of Narada Muni. He began by telling of Narada Muni's previous life to his previous life. This takes place in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Maharaj Yudhisthira, in his very natural humility, he is inquiring from Sri Narada Muni, how can a householder like me, who is encumbered by so many family responsibilities, responsibilities of the kingdom, occupation, and other things, how can we be liberated? How could we possibly attain Krishna consciousness? Does that sound like a familiar question to most of you counselees? So in answer to his question, Narada Muni, in his great humility, reflects back two lives to who he was. And he has no shame in, or let us say, he has no reluctance to explain how fallen he was. Most of us, we like to hide the things of the past that aren't so good, especially from ourselves, and even more so from others. But he tells the story just to express to Yudhisthira Maharaj how anyone can be Krishna conscious. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Grihe tako, vane tako, sada hari bole tako, suke duke bulo nako, vadane hari nam korore, gai gora madhu sware. This is what Lord Chaitanya has sung. Whether you're a grihasta, whether you're sannyasi, doesn't matter. if we take the name of Krishna, we can go beyond all the happiness and distress of this world. So this beautiful story of his own example is to give Yudhisthira Maharaj hope. And through Yudhisthira Maharaj, to give every living being hope, whoever. Now, the story itself is very interesting. We have heard from Burijan Prabhu how he was a Gandharva named Upabharana who was very much infatuated by beautiful women and who was very beautiful and handsome himself, and due to all of his opulence, he became very proud. So there was a Harinam Sankirtan festival. And he went to attend it, and he was singing the names of the demigods amongst all devotees and holy people. And he was surrounded by these beautiful women who were all just looking at him. So the Prajapatis cursed him to become a Sudra. From this high, high birth in the heavenly planets as a Gandharva, to become a Sudra. But Narada Muni considered that curse to be such a blessing. Because he lost all of his opulences. He was just a helpless little Sudra boy. But in that birth, he got the opportunity to associate with devotees. And because he was in a humble condition, he was receptive to receive the mercy of the devotees. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Sharalata, simplicity is the first qualification for a devotee. Simplicity. Without duplicity. To be in a humble state. Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena sevya. If you want to know the truth, there's no way around it. It's not by academic study. It's not by tapasya and austerities. First, one has to be submissive. And in that submissive, humble state, one must approach a guru or a Vaishnav with an eagerness to serve. Now, as Upabharana, there were so many great souls around, and he was in a Nam Sankirtan festival. But because he wasn't humble, he wasn't inquiring submissively. He was just doing his own thing. He was in the center. But then that curse put him in a totally dependent, helpless, humble condition. And in that state, when the Bhaktivedantas, when the great devotees were there, his heart was open. He was humble. He had nothing to be proud of. He served them. He took the remnants of their food. You think a Gandharva would take the remnants of somebody's food? Take the remnants of my food. And therefore, he was receptive to hear their message deep in his heart. Something very interesting. I'm just thinking. He considered it such a blessing that later on as Narada Muni, he shared the same blessing with Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. It was practically an identical situation. They were Gandharvas. Well, more or less. They were the sons of Kuvera. They were wealthy. They were handsome. They were full of all opulences, just like Upabharana. And wherever a great soul is, that's a festival of Harinam. Yes? Narada Muni comes, he's standing right before them, and what are they doing? They're surrounded by beautiful women enjoying. Me in the center. Very, very similar situation. Narada Muni cursed them to be trees. Very, very humble situation. But he cursed, just as the Prajapatis cursed Upabharana to become a Shudra, but who would get the association of devotees. Nalakuvera Manigriva were cursed by Narada Muniji to become trees, but to associate with Krishna, Balaram, Nanda, Yashoda, the Gopas and the Gopis in Mahavan, Gokul. And because of their totally humbled condition of no opulences whatsoever, a tree is in a lower category than a Shudra. So this is how Narada Muni was so convinced by his own experience. But if they were Nalakuvera Manigriva, if Krishna Balaram were playing around, they would just, they would not consider. But as trees, they were so humble, they could actually appreciate Krishna's pastimes. And they were delivered by the association. This is an example of how our own experiences in life, the ups, the downs, and the all-arounds, whatever else may come into our life, they're ultimately all meant to help us to have higher and higher realizations. And if we become Krishna conscious, whatever experiences we have had, it's actually an asset in which we can help others. And we know how to help others. For alcoholics, there's the AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Krishna Chandra Prabhu's father used to host Alcoholic Anonymous meetings in his office, and I would regularly go to different places. And one rule they have, that they don't allow anybody except alcoholics or reformed alcoholics to attend their meetings. I guess that's something about me. They let me attend. But the idea is, unless you know, you'll never know what an alcoholic's going through unless you've been one. And therefore, you can't really relate to them and help them. They cure more people of alcoholism than anything. And it's all alcoholics because they know what it's like. They know where it's at. So many of the tragedies, many of the ways we've been misunderstood, many of the curses, because negative goes deeper in the heart than positive for most of us. Yes? How many of you remember severe tragedies from 20 years ago? How many remember nice days from 20 years ago? They're forever forgotten from the mind, but the tragedy, they go deep. So oftentimes we find that our difficult most times give us realizations as we become Krishna consciousness and grow through it. And then as preachers, when we see people who have similar experiences, we can relate to their suffering, we could relate to their illusion. And we actually have a profound ability to help them. Paradukaduki. As we become Krishna conscious to that degree, the sufferings of others become our sufferings. So Narada Muni considered such a horrible curse to have been such a glorious blessing, that he gave a very similar curse to people who were in the same illusion he was in. Why? To give them pure devotional service. to give them Krishna consciousness. In the life of that little Sudra boy, there are so many beautiful lessons that Burijan Prabhu explained. Again, tragedy. Obviously, that mother went back home, back to Godhead, being the mother of Nara, of that little boy, being an instrument in such a wonderful pastime. Five-year-old boy. And living in the forest, and his mother's dead from the bite of a snake. Actually, yesterday, I have a confession to make. Can I make? Please don't be offended, anyone. During that life balancing seminar, I was really appreciating it, but I was thinking that my life will be more balanced if I just go off into the forest alone. So I left the seminar and just went off to the forest. And as I was going, there was about a 5 or 6 foot green snake that just slithered right just close to me. Like, I was thinking, how do you go? It's a poison snake. So I was thinking that that little time glass, so what, hourglass of Burijan Prabhu, that this was a much more graphic symbol of a time glass, is this venomous snake just crawling right next to me, reminding us that death could come at any moment. So I went way, way, way beyond, almost to that mountain, through forests and everything, and it was starting to get sunset. And I was thinking, God, you know, there's snakes around here. And the deeper I go, the less chance it'll ever be for anyone to find me. If I get struck by a snake here, I will just die all alone without anyone. Maybe they'll find me tomorrow. And I was going in paths where there wasn't much, you know, just stepping over the bushes and the weeds. That was my meditation. And that meditation had some good balancing effects in my life. You know, what is our goal? The snake of death can strike us at any moment. The illusion is when we're thinking it won't. And really, what is my spiritual goal in life? What is that center? And when we're really thinking that death could come now, and there's going to be nobody around to help me, I'm flying my own plane now. You know, what are the things in my life that are taking me away from Krishna? What are the things in my life that I really have to change? This was all inspired by Burijan Prabhu. You see, different people take your lessons in different ways according to our nature. Krishna was orchestrating everything according to your inspiration. But the little child, Narada Muni, in his past life, he was wandering through forests and cities and everywhere. Just his heart, his mind, his soul was fixed on the goal. The goal of what he heard from those Vaishnavas. Just by serving them, taking their remnants and hearing from them, he understood what the goal of life is. And how determined he was. Now, how many more Srimad Bhagavatams you have heard than him? And how many more remnants of Vaishnavas you have had? And how many more opportunities you've had to serve? Why we procrastinate? The time has come. We have to fix our mind. Narada Muni made his center Prema Bhakti. and he was willing to do anything and endure any situation for that purpose. And ultimately, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were so much illustrated in Narada Muni that the best way to cultivate Krishna consciousness is through the feelings of separation. This was the six Goswamis, Prabhupada said. He Radhe Braja Deva Kecha Lalite He Nanda Shuno Kutaha. They were not saying, oh, I have Krishna. They were not saying, last night I dreamed that Gopal came to me and he was embracing me. Where is Krishna? We heard Bhurijan Prabhu describe Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came to Navadvip in Kanai Natasala. I saw Krishna, he embraced me, but now he is gone. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Narada Muni, after getting the darshan of Krishna for just a moment, he spent the rest of his life cultivating the feelings of separation by constantly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Now, for all of you, you are counselors. You have devotees who are under your care. The purpose of this beautiful seminar is to inspire, to enrich, and to nourish you so that what you are given, you can share for the upliftment of others. In giving, we receive. Narada Muni is the ultimate example. Whatever he was given by the Bhaktivedantas, whatever he received from the mercy of the Lord in his present birth as Narada Muni, he's simply sharing it with everyone. Narada Muni bhajai vina radhika ramana name. Playing his veena, dancing, chanting, everywhere, giving Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada often would say, we are in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni got cursed so many times, even in his present birth. And he accepted it all as blessings. He just tries to do good, misunderstood. Try to do good, you'll be misunderstood. It is the nature of the world. Daksha's sons, two sets of sons, Narada Muni turns them into pure devotees, the ultimate goal of life, and Daksha curses him, angry as anything. And Narada Muni just accepts. He didn't fight. He understood the so-called reversals and curses of this world if, as Bhurijan Prabhu said, if we are just sincere, they are all transformed into blessings. And Srila Prabhupada, he tells us that this is Narada Muni's life. What he has received, he's simply giving, giving, and giving. This is our parampara. So as counselors, know in your own life, as well as in your life of the counselees that are under your care, there will be many ups and downs. The path of perfection is never, as Bhurijan Prabhu so concisely said, lollipop land. Is that it? I never used that word before. It's something new in my vocabulary that I have in my notes. It's never easy. There will be good, there will be hardships, there will be reversals. there will be situations that seem very, very impossible. Like, why is God doing this to me? But when we study the lives of the great souls, we know that this is just what we need, whether we know it or not, whether we understand it or not. It's always just what we need. The most inconceivable hardships, tragedies, and everything is in life are all there to make us pure, if we're just sincere, if we're just patient. So what you have all gained from this seminar could be of such great value in your own spiritual journey and in helping to guide others in their spiritual journeys. That whatever happens, we should simply have faith that Krishna's plan is perfect. Learn and grow from every experience, whatever it may be, and never let go of the feet of Guru, Vaishnavas, Gornitai, and Krishna. And like Narada Muni, make the focus of your life to chant the holy names and to induce others to overcome all obstacles by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Also offer gratitude to Jagat Tarini Devi Prabhu, who has been like a presiding goddess through this seminar. The curse of her breaking her knee has become such a blessing for Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Yes? This is so much. And a blessing for her, so she's allowed to be in the role of Nityananda Prabhu, to bless all of us for a longer extended period of time. And special gratitude to Pyari Mohan Prabhu for that amazing magic show. Especially the part about the brahmachari passing urine. Did all of you see that part? How many of you saw the brahmachari passing urine? Anyways, it's worth seeing. It's one of those moments of life you can never forget. And my gratitude to Soma Prabhu, my dear God brother, always being so gracious and effulgent. And my unlimited thanks to His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj, His fantastic kirtans, and just for blessing the whole occasion with His divine presence. And once again, to His Grace Purijan Prabhu for filling our hearts with so much wisdom and so much inspiration on the path of Prema Bhakti. Thank you very much. And also my gratitude to Sanat Kumar Prabhu and all the residents of Sri Govardhan Farm and all the cows, for making all these arrangements for us, and especially for that long green snake. Didn't say a word, but preached volumes and volumes of knowledge just by... I hope that you all had a wonderful time here, and it is our prayer that we can develop this project so that many of you will come again and again and again with your counselees, with your families, with your friends. So close to Bombay, but so far away. This place is being developed exclusively to facilitate devotees to come and be in a place where they can exclusively pursue the ultimate goal of Krishna Prema. Thank you very much. And now, Purijan Prabhu, or Niranjan Swami Maharaj, will address us.
Gyanata Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksha Unminitam Yenatasma Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangaya Te Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bandi Shri Gurum Dinitaranam Namah Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Govani Pajaranini Vishesha Sanyavari Pasta Chyade Santarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Har Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, I don't think I can speak as eloquently as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj on this particular occasion. One, because I'm incapable of it, and the other is because Purijan Prabhu has to leave within a half hour, and so we should leave him adequate time to summarize and put everyone into the focus before their departure, so that all the time that he's spent in the last day and a half can be utilized to its full potential. So I'll speak briefly. And I thought that, well, first I should express my gratitude, at least, although I may not be able to do it as profusely to all the people as Maharaj has already done, but especially express my gratitude to Purijan Prabhu for his presentation. And I can at least summarize for myself one. Well, it just so happens it took place also in an experience I had in the life balancing session. I was sitting in the back of the room, and I found it difficult, as I confessed to Purijan Prabhu later yesterday evening, to in the particular setting to be focused as I wanted to be on dealing with the yellow slips of paper and the piece of paper and the pen and the and cumbersome way of trying to do all that in my chair and already being uncomfortable sitting in the chair, that I confessed to him that I wasn't able really to apply myself so much to the tactic that he was trying to that he was using, certainly, we should in a very positive way, to help everybody see that what their own spiritual center is. But I, even though I didn't apply myself to the practical techniques, it did have an impact on me. And the impact is that I realized how important it is, especially for those who are in a position of leadership, counseling, taking care of others, they need to be examples. How important it is to be centered. Because the more people you're connected to, the more easy it is to be off-center. And especially, we're social beings. Every living entity is by nature a social being. And we have connections with so many different relationships. Some persons are connected through familial responsibilities. Some persons are connected through their employment. Some persons are connected through their service. So many connections. And Burijan actually, Prabhu, brought all these things to light, certainly, in his presentation. How easy it is to get off balance. But the realization that I had is that I really also need to go through this technique, because without being spiritually centered, it is very easy, as I explained, to be pulled in so many different directions and to lose sight of the center. And that can happen to anyone. It can happen even, and usually does happen, without her even noticing it. And especially because there are still, when there is still anartas in the heart, and especially anartas sometimes cause us to justify in different ways various immediate necessities that have to be given attention, which may not be so necessary. In fact, Prabhupada, in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, he uses this phrase that's so perfect. He calls it unnecessary necessities. It's the only Prabhupada could use such a phrase and have such a deep meaning, you know, and when he placed it in his commentary in the chapter on the household life about unnecessary necessities. And, you know, when we think something's necessary, it requires immediate attention. Sometimes when we think it's necessary, we give it immediate attention. And as Burijan brought to light, that it doesn't end there, because you give it so much attention, but then there's always some an additional element that needs to be put into place for it to come out the way that you want it, and want to extract sometimes some pleasure from it or some satisfaction from it. And it becomes so compelling that we can easily go off balance. And once we go off balance, the example that we need to serve as spiritual leaders, as counselors, is diminished and affected, adversely influenced, because we can't give our full attention to those who need it. And one thing I've come to realize in our society, in ISKCON today, it's like the call of the times, that what's really needed for the devotees is personal attention. I hear it everywhere. I hear souls crying. You know, I'll even tell you the evidence of it. 2 years ago, I published a book called Taking Care of Krishna's Devotees. Right? Now, this book, I'm convinced, didn't become popular because of its content. I was told, a disciple of mine sent me a letter recently that the Bhaktivedanta Library Services keeps on ordering more and more of those books. He says it was their biggest seller last year, and they want more books. And I stopped to think that I bet you many people are buying this book just because of the title. I think most of the people don't even realize what's inside of it. But because of the title, Taking Care of Krishna's Devotees, it's become so popular, because that's something, it's the call, devotees need to feel taken care of. They need to feel a sense of security. They have a future in Krishna consciousness. And there are so many devotees who are feeling off-centered. And they need help from those who are centered. If we're not centered, then we may begin to feel that the attention and time that we give to others is not necessary, that I have other necessities that I have to take care of. And the result is that so many devotees who do need time, attention, care, they need to have the association of somebody who's focused with the center in life. Because if you're really focused and if you're really centered and you're really convinced, what does that do? It gives the devotee you're speaking to hope. It gives them hope. Because everybody needs to have hope that I can advance in Krishna consciousness. That's necessary. So we should be very careful that we don't become caught up in our unnecessary necessities. Unnecessary necessities, I took that phrase to mean that we think it's necessary, but actually it's not. I think Prabhupada used as an example lipstick, didn't he? I think in it. in the same commentary. But anyways, whatever it was, it's what struck me as I was sitting in the balancing class and looking at myself and realizing the need to be very focused and centered on a spiritual aspiration. Because if I can be focused and centered on a spiritual aspiration, then that will give hope to so many who are dependent upon me. And otherwise, I may become off-centered by trying to give others something that they really don't need. Or catering to their whims, or placating their whims, and that's dangerous. I'm not helping them. Neither am I helping myself. If we simply placate to the whims of those who are really looking for substance, so to give substance, we have to have substance, because I sat through the whole presentation yesterday, and although I wasn't so active with my pad of paper, and I was trying to imbibe the essence of what Murujan Prabhu was trying to, the message he was trying to give. And what I came out of his class yesterday was this, the need to be filled with substance, and the substance, of course, is a genuine spiritual desire that carries us through life's difficulties, life's disturbances, upheavals, a genuine spiritual desire that gives us hope and can impact and influence those who are looking to us for hope and looking to us for substance and an opportunity to make advancement and grow in their faith in Krishna consciousness. So, I can say that I have that desire was fanned yesterday in me. And I hope it was fanned in all of you to aspire for this and to take the little valuable jewels of wisdom that Bhurijan Prabhu shared with all of you, to take it with you. And to go back and reflect on your center and on your distractions and everything else that was discussed yesterday, so that you can be on center and on call for anyone who needs your association, and you'll be able to give them. Sometimes even when it takes a moment. There's a verse, Tula Yama Lavena Pina Swagam Napanambavam. What is it? The value of a moment's association of a devotee cannot be compared to liberation from matter, to elevation to heavenly planets, or to worldly prosperity. So what is it that a Vaishnava is so centered, so completely centered, then even one moment can just can dissipate all illusions, can dissipate all distractions, and center one on life's ultimate goal in a moment. We may not be so empowered, but we should pray. We should pray for the desire to become so empowered and to be so fixed in our spiritual center that we can give substance with just a glance or just a moment's time or just a quick answer that will immediately pierce through the coverings of the false ego and enter into the heart and become meaningful to some jiva soul who needs to feel sheltered in Krishna consciousness. So that was my realization. And I thank Borajuan Prabhu for bringing this to light in my own life. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj Radhanath and Maharaj Narendra. Thank you so much, and also Soma Prabhu, and also Pyari Mohan Prabhu, and also Jagatwini Mataji. actually, without the encouragement, you know, it's difficult to speak in front of one's god brothers, and also especially ones that are so much more advanced than oneself. But I also have to admit that their presence was very inspiring for me, and I felt their blessings and well wishes just pouring from their butter-like hearts over my head. And I sincerely thank you all, even you. The intimate dealings. You know, I learned so much even just from the speaking of both Maharajas. But there was one other thing I wanted to say, even though I have already said so much, and that is I would like to mention a little story about Krishna. Because Krishna is our goal. And after Krishna lifted Giriraj Govardhan, all the Brijbasis were speaking about how wonderful this boy was. Obviously, because he was just a little boy and he had just lifted a hill, and they had been watching him for so many days, and their hearts were so captivated by him. And during that time, they didn't really think about the wonder that this little boy was lifting a hill. They were just enamored by looking at him and his beauty. But after the event was over, they talked to Nanda Maharaj and they were asking about this wonderful boy, his son. Who is he? Who actually is he? He lifted up a hill. He's just a child. So then Nanda Maharaj said, all I can say, very proudly, because naturally the father is proud of his son, and who could be a more proud, wonderful father than Nanda Maharaj? So he said, all I can do is repeat what Gauga Muni said about Krishna, that he will, explained all the verses, he just repeated them verbatim, what Gauga Muni had said during the name-giving ceremony, that this boy has come in different ages, he's known by many, many different names, and that if you take shelter of him, all Sarva Durgani, all your difficulties will be removed. And take care of him, Gopa Yasva, something, Yunjaha. You take care of him very, very, very carefully. He's Narayano Samo. He is just equal to Lord Narayan. So then, the next, or very soon after that, perhaps 2 days after, or 1 day after, or two, there was an Ekadasi. And Nanda Maharaj very strictly performed that Ekadasi. And then the next day, on the Dwadasi, very, very early in the morning, Nanda Maharaj went into the water. And while he was in the water, because there was a particular titi, it was a very, very short titi. And he was actually 100% correct he had to break other regulations to be able to break his Ekadasi properly. So he went into the water, and there, a very foolish servant of Varuna took him away, and he took him through a very deep passage to the kingdom of Varuna. And when Varuna, by looking at Nanda Maharaj's physical features, he immediately understood that this was the father of Krishna. And he understood that Krishna would not tolerate this. So he became in anxiety and he placed Nanda Maharaj on a throne. Right near his palace or near him. And just imagine what it was like for the Brijbasis who were with Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj went into the water and they didn't see that he was taken to the kingdom of Varuna, but rather they saw him disappear under the water. And they thought, Khatam ho gaya. And they began crying out. And what were they crying out? They were just crying out to Krishna and Lord Ram and Rama and Balaram, calling Krishna, 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 Krishna. Help us in this terrible situation. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And because Krishna is all-pervading, he is everywhere. That means his ears are everywhere and he hears all the calls of his devotees. He immediately appeared on the scene and he understood what had happened. And Balaram was with him and the residents of Vrindavan all became disturbed. And Krishna told Balaram to go back and take care of Mother Yasoda, because if she comes here and sees what I'm about to do, I will not be able to do it if she's going to witness it. So Balaram went back, and because Balaram had told the Brijbasis during the time when Krishna was enwrapped in the coils of Kaliya, they were in complete anxiety, and he was smiling and saying, don't worry, everything will be okay. So they trusted his discretion at these times, and they were saying, Balaram is still smiling, we should not worry. And that was what Krishna told them to do, to keep smiling during this time. In Ananda Vrindavan Champu, it describes what Srimati Radharani was doing, and it's one of the most intense descriptions that I've ever read, that she went into a terror of separation, of terror, the thought that Krishna was underneath the water, which was he was about to do. Because Krishna did enter into the water. And again, what did it look like from the shore? Krishna entered into the water, and it looked like he had also gone, because he didn't resurface. And Srimati Radharani went completely mad in ecstasy. For her, the blinking of an eye was intolerable and was experienced like a yuga. So then Krishna went deep into the water. And first, he assumed such a ferocious feature that was reddish like fire, and no one could look into his eyes. This is described in Gopal Champal, by the way. No one could look in his eyes because they were so full of anger. And he went into the water in this fearsome feature and went down that same tunnel. And Varuna, knowing that Krishna would soon be there, came to the edge of his kingdom, just waiting so he could quickly, as soon as Krishna came, pay his obeisances and bring Krishna to where his father was and placate him and satisfy Krishna. So Krishna, in this ferocious form, appeared. And Varuna bowed down immediately and began offering gifts to Krishna. And he immediately said, "Oh, one foolish servant of mine has taken your father. Please forgive him. Please forgive me, because if the servant commits a great mistake, the fault rests on the head of the master." You can think about that if you'd like to also. But Krishna, so he just begged him and made presentations there. Look, he immediately said, "Look and see where your father is. He's sitting on a throne in a palace. Gifts are surrounding him." And immediately, and again, Krishna was in this ferocious form. And as soon as the servants of Varuna saw that how Varuna was treating Krishna so subservient, then they immediately became subservient too. And then immediately, Krishna just cooled down immediately and just smiled immediately. He was pleased with Varuna then. And Varuna took Krishna to where Nanda Maharaj was. And he saw that Nanda Maharaj was in a trance. He was thinking, his eyes were closed, and he was thinking, "My boy Krishna is so nice. You should have seen the way he held up the hill. And while he was holding the hill, everyone was around him. And some days he's out with the cows. And other days he's coming home. And we're so afraid that he's not getting enough to eat. And his mother is always trying to feed him. And every day, hour by hour, we're sending out food to him. And now he's taking out the cows. And before he used to take out the calves. And he plays his flute in such a charming way. And his turban is so nice." He had no idea that he had been kidnapped by Varuna. His eyes were closed and he was just talking and thinking about Krishna. Krishna came before him and embraced him and said, "Father, I have come." And Nanda Maharaj opened his eyes when Krishna said that. And he saw Krishna standing in front of him. And Krishna's demeanor was so sweet and so protective of his father. He had given up his anger, but he had come like this to protect his father. Immediately he had come. And if Yasoda was there, he couldn't have been able to enter, because Yasoda would have. So Krishna then touched his father's feet And he spoke very, very sweet words to him, "Oh, Father." And then Varuna came and offered beautiful prayers glorifying Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And then Krishna very sweetly said, Varuna had taken the water out of the passage and he had put a beautiful carpet. And he said, "Now you can return, you can take your father and return." And they were offering prayers, they were giving wonderful gifts to Krishna. And Krishna said, "My dear father," very sweetly, "please place your lotus feet, the two lotuses that are your feet, one after another, and traverse this path back to our place." He was so sweet in his dealings with his father. And then after some time, while the Brijbasis were on the shore, then Krishna and Nanda Maharaj surfaced. And everyone went mad in happiness and ecstasy. They're embracing Nanda Maharaj, they're embracing Krishna. Balaram came over and embraced Krishna. Now the next day, Nanda Maharaj was, the cowherd men asked Nanda Maharaj, "What happened? You were down under the water for so long, what happened?" And he told them, "I went to the kingdom of Yamuna, and my son Krishna is so nice. He's so wonderful that even Varuna was glorifying him, saying that he was the Supreme Lord." So the Brijbasis, then from that time on, accepted that Krishna was not an ordinary boy. He was not a demigod. He was not equal to Narayan, but actually he was Narayan. But their love for him was so intense and so, talking about being centered, they didn't know anything else, they didn't see anything else but Krishna. Their love for him was so perfect, that the fact that they knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead didn't at all diminish their love for him. So, yet they were like playing the part of ordinary village boys. So they said, "If he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Nanda, what is going to be our destination after we die? Will he take us to heaven? Will he take us to Vaikuntha? Where will we go after we die?" And Krishna understood their thoughts. And he loved them so much. Okay, they desire this. So I'll show them something. So first he took them all. He brought them to the same place where Akura would later be shown all the Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He took them there. And he put them all in the water. What a place called, it's called the Kuruga, but also called Brahmariddha. And he put them in the water and he wanted them to experience something. He wanted them, amazingly enough, to experience the happiness of Sayuja liberation, Brahman realization. He put them in the water and then immediately pulled them out. And then he brought them to Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, they were thinking, "Oh, this is so wonderful. But where is Krishna?" And then they saw Krishna, because it wasn't just Vaikuntha, it was Golok Vaikuntha. And then they saw Krishna in this Golok Vaikuntha. And they saw this beautiful, beautiful boy with his flute, lotus eyes and curling hair and reddish palms and feet, with his jewels and vanamala even. But because it was Golok Vaikuntha, there were demigods there. And they were all praising Krishna and glorifying him. And Krishna was looking at the Brijbasis who were seeing him, but he wasn't doing anything. He was listening to the prayers of the demigods. So the Brijbasis felt happiness on seeing Krishna like this, knowing what their home was, their destination was. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this in the most wonderful way. He says, their feeling of happiness was just like a rich man, a wealthy man, who has lost all his money and then gets a hint. He gets a hint of where his wealth actually is. Very indirectly, he's explaining that when they had gone to Brahman, they lost everything. They went to Vaikuntha, no hint of where their wealth was. But when they saw Krishna, they just got a, but he was surrounded by demigods. And they were praising Krishna and praising Krishna. They got a hint because they had seen Krishna. And they felt so exuberantly happy because they had seen Krishna, who was everything for them. And that gave them a hint of where their wealth really was. And then they said, what kind of place is this? Krishna is right there. But because of the surroundings, we feel shy. We can't go running over to him and embrace him. And not only that, Krishna feels shy. He's not running over to us and jumping up on our laps and embracing us. And then they said, Mother Yasoda would never be able to tolerate a place like this. She'd be thinking, my boy, there's nothing for him to eat. He's listening all the time to these demigods. Who's feeding him? She'd never be able to tolerate this place. And then Krishna brought them back just where they had started. Just where they had started, to Vrindavan, where everything is very, very, very simple. And Krishna was running over and embracing them, and they were embracing him. And when the cowherd boys were with Krishna, they would tease each other. And sometimes, as boys do, they make each other cry, and Krishna would cry. They were just home. And that was their destination, just where they were. And that home is our spiritual center.